Good evening, everyone. This is Tala with Drive Through Therapy. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight on another episode. And as always, I'm grateful for your support. And tonight, we're going to talk about something that I think every person should know about. It's kind of like a high school education that was missed, which is gaslighting in relationships. I know this has become a trend-setting word, is probably the best way to say that. It's all over the social media, and it's kind of thrown around with couples or friendships or what have you. And sometimes the word is really underestimated, and people only perceive it today as being relevant to narcissistic personality disorder. But it is actually something that everybody and every couple needs to just know as a way to see when they're about to engage in it or even allow it. I'm going to give you a little bit of the history of it. You can find this information probably everywhere, but usually I like to add some more information from my experiences, some examples, especially when working with people, because this goes often dismissed. And because it has such a hype on social media, I think people don't take it as seriously. And they think that it's just kind of thing that's thrown around and weaponized with your partner. But we're going to make sure today that we clarify it for everyone so everybody knows that it is closer to home than you think it is. And a lot of relationships, if there is a power dynamic, if you are in a relationship where you feel unheard, where you have to repeat conversations over and over again, where you're having to fight to be heard for your point of view or you're seen for your perceptions, if you feel like you're just going crazy being in this relationship or feel isolated or lonely in this relationship that you're in, this is a good start for you to see if there are any of these gaslighting patterns in your communication patterns in that relationship. Hopefully it's kind of clear on why I'm doing this. I really want to put it in center stage when it comes to the extreme power dynamics in a relationship, in any relationship. You'll find some of these gaslighting patterns in there. If things are off balance, kind of have this feeling like it's really not fair, probably you're experiencing some of those gaslighting patterns. And I'm going to talk about those today. We're going to break them down for you. So this way, you know, like, hey, if I'm being gaslit, I want to start doing something about it. But because there's a lot of insecurity about the topic and we don't know enough about it, we are going to make sure that if you ever experience that, you'll know it. You'll know it. This is it right here. I compiled this information from different sources for you so I can get it as precise and definite and relevant to every day as I can make it. So this is my plan. The word gaslighting was termed in a 1938 play that later became a movie in 1944 called Gaslight. And it was about a husband that emotionally, psychologically manipulated his wife into believing that she's a kleptomaniac and that she was kind of, you know, losing her mind. And he did this really by changing the intensity of the gas lamps in the house, along with other strategies that he used in communicating with her. And so the term became really relevant around that time, and it was exposed. Many people, I imagine, could relate to it. I think it's an ageless, timeless concept that as long as relationships have been around, you somewhere would have experienced, especially toxic relationships, not all relationships, but toxic relationships, especially have gaslighting written all over it. In order for us to understand gaslighting, we have to talk about what the purpose of it would be. And it is to gain a sense of control over and power over another person by distorting their reality and force them to question their own judgment, their own memories, their intuition, even their own intention as a human being. So self-doubt starts to become very evident in the person that's being consistently gaslit. Again, this is there's a purpose to all that, because if I am dealing, if I want control and if I want power over my partner, over another person, to make them feel like they are inferior, that's the way to gain power over them. Now, this would only work mostly with individuals. If you're being gaslit and it's gone on for too long, most of the time, a person who's a gaslighter tries to keep people pleasers people pleasing. That's the purpose of their work in gaslighting. You know, if you're in a relationship with a person that gaslights, more than likely, you are a people pleaser. Also, on the other extreme, if you're with a person who's a gaslighter, you're also a gaslighter. Those are the two extremes that I've encountered here, where gaslighting just runs rampant. Because when it comes to a person who is generally used to chaos and loudness and toxicity and accusations and blaming and all that, and those power struggles in a relationship, then the other person, more than likely, you're attracting somebody who continues to get involved in that pattern. So that would be another person who's into gaslighting as well. It could go either way. Now, with the people pleasing, how that works out is the gaslighter usually attempts to, like I said, distort and make the person question reality. The people pleaser wants to please the gaslighter, and the gaslighter is able to use guilt and all various techniques we're going to talk about today in order for them to gain control over this people pleaser. I've got two consenting adults here. If I'm talking about two consenting adults in a relationship. So, you know, as much as I'd like to say there are victims in here, I want to give you the power to know that although this does cause an abusive response in a relationship, there are two consenting adults that consent to be in a relationship, and that some of their insecurities are working within this relationship, and that they need to kind of be able to step up and develop better boundaries, right? I want to make sure that I keep that in there, that two people are consenting to be in a relationship, even if it's abusive, even if it's abusive. And most people actually know that they're in an abusive relationship, but it's just still hard to leave it and then continue to make justifications for it. So I want to take the approach today of telling people that it's best not to stay too long at perceiving the self as a victim. We can still feel compassionate towards ourselves and help ourselves. But if we remain in the victim stance, it could actually exasperate this abusive cycle, right? Because I feel helpless. I feel unable to protect myself and defend myself. So this victim mentality, to some extent in this case, does not help this cycle. It perpetuates it. I want to make sure that everybody knows that we can have compassion for ourselves. I want people to have compassion for themselves, to be able to develop boundaries that they need to protect themselves. But I don't want for them to continue to identify themselves and only relate to themselves as a victim, because they are consenting adults. And once they find out that something is not fair and that the person is not listening to them and the person may be gaslighting them, they have the power to leave. They don't have to stay and keep getting victimized. That's why I'm bringing this up as a way to make sure that when people find this information out, they don't just sit with it and say, well, you're gaslighting me, you're gaslighting me, you're gaslighting me, and keep telling the partner that and keeping themselves in a victim situation. I need them to step up and start enforcing their boundaries. I want to put this information here in the beginning before I talk about anything else, because a lot of times we sit on this information, we even make our partner listen to it, and we tell them, look, you're gaslighting me. But that causes more problems because I'm in denial. It's like when I go to my partner who's gaslighting me, who's doing all this work to gaslight me, and I'm telling them that they are gaslighting me, well, of course they're going to deny it. That's what they do. So they're going to deny it. They're going to engage in those behaviors where you're going to be left feeling crazy. So I want to make sure that if you're experiencing this, I need you to do something with it. It's not about showing it to the partner and using it. At this point, I just need you to do something with it. I need you to acknowledge your own pain and your own suffering in this and do something about it. You are a consenting adult and you are powerful. And sometimes we just got to act our boundaries, not say them. In a lot of cases with people that are gaslighting, if we're talking to them, we got to actually just act our boundaries. We don't talk to them anymore. Basically, because in talking to them, those patterns start coming up. And so we'll talk about those a little bit more right now because I don't want to go off on a little tangent. I want to make sure that I have time to address all this. And we are at 12 minutes. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you about the types of gaslighting that happen in a relationship. And they're the most common. I try to get as much as I can here and there of the most common ones that are used on the daily, especially if you're in a toxic relationship. Now, the first one is what is called discrediting or devaluing. So in the middle of a conversation, or you're trying to present some sort of information to the gaslighter will say something like, "Everybody knows you're crazy," which discredits you and your opinion, right? In that moment, it devalues you as a human being and devalues your character, as well as it discredits your opinion. So everybody thinks you're crazy anyways. Your family says this. Your family doesn't like you. Your family talks about you all the time. Your friends hate you. Look, so-and-so is no longer a friend with you, see, because you're crazy, right? And they'll kind of sound like that. That's discrediting. The second type of gaslighting would be questioning a memory. So sometimes they'll say, "Oh yeah, you don't remember. You always forget. You're not accurate." Ooh, one that I really dislike, but I think it's used often and we don't talk enough about, is using people's mental health issues against them. So let's say your partner knows, for example, that you have bipolar disorder. You're diagnosed with bipolar disorder. We don't want them to use that, right? So, but unfortunately, a gaslighter, if they're in their gaslighting business, they're gonna use that and say, "Well, you know, it's because you have bipolar disorder. You need to go see your therapist." And they'll weaponize that. They'll weaponize mental health disorders. Often they'll bring it up. And this also in this moment, you know, you start to think, "Well, maybe I have bad memory. Maybe I forget all the time because of the medications I'm taking, or maybe, or whatever the case is." But the idea is that it makes you question your memory. So another tactic that a gaslighter uses here is to minimize the problem. So let's say you bring up a problem like, "Look, we keep fighting all day long," right? In this case, they'll say, "Well, it's not a big deal. So-and-so fights a lot more. So-and-so got divorced because they fight so much. We're still good. Nothing is going on. It's not that bad." And so they minimize the problem, right? Let's say you come home and you're talking about work. They will minimize, let's say, the problem that you have at work. "Well, it's not a big deal. You need to be able to deal with it." They just won't listen to the problem and discuss it well. They just usually minimize it, like it's not a big deal. And in this case, the person who's gaslit is left to think, am I making a big deal out of it? Like, you're going to start to question that about yourself if you are receiving this. A common one that shouldn't be a big shocker would be the technique of blaming. And couples use this quite often. "You did this, you did that." And they're upping each other in this case, that's a form of gaslighting. I don't think people would call that traditionally as gaslighting, but it is. It is a form of gaslighting. Blaming does not help solve a problem with a couple. They kind of stay stuck because anytime a problem gets mentioned or needs to be talked about, and let's say it's really important to talk about it as a couple, it results in blaming quickly. It just kind of escalates and nobody's going to talk about anything and nothing gets resolved. That's how you know this is happening. Nothing ever gets resolved. I see this a lot, especially when working with couples. By the time they come to therapy, it's kind of like blame, and a significant power dynamic that's being presented as a way to get needs met. Okay. The one technique a gaslighter does that I think is just basically what a gaslighter is, okay? That's like the main strategy that they use is when you start, and it goes along with what I just said previously with blaming, but it's them changing the topic of discussion. So if you come towards them with something that you want to, you know, talk to them about, something about their behavior, something about maybe help that you might need, what they quickly do is they will usually reverse it on you as the problem. And this is also another way to say is deflection. They'll deflect the problem onto you right away. This is a quick thing that happens. So you're left there defending yourself the whole time, even though that's not how it started. You didn't even need to defend yourself. In this case, the person who's constantly being gaslit tends to be highly driven by guilt. They constantly feel a sense of guilt that is usually end up being used on them. I mean, the gaslighter knows that they feel guilt all the time, and the gaslighter may not. And so they use that onto the people pleaser or the person that's usually with the gaslighter. So they use guilt. Yeah. And it comes up and it very loud and clear when the gaslighter is shifting, even though the conversation started about them being confronted with something about their behavior, they right away turn it around to make it ends up being something about you and your fault. Well, look what you did. Remember when you did that, but that's not what we're discussing, right? And towards the end, you're just talking about something else completely. They know what they're doing. The gaslighter knows what they're doing in this case. And again, it gives them power by releasing the attention off of them and the accountability off of them and puts it right back onto the person who's constantly using guilt and shame to make decisions in their life. And usually they're the people pleaser. Okay. Now, the next one is a strategy that is called withholding, that gaslighters use. And that really basically means when a gaslighter tells you, I don't know what you're talking about. So let's say I see this sometimes, I mean, being used right in front of me. Like one of the patients says, husband is keeping things from me. And let's say the wife finds proof and confronts the husband with it. And the husband literally says, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, that's not me. I didn't do that. I didn't, you know, use that. I didn't video that or whatever the case is. And so the person often, because they're not validated, right? But they need validation and reassurance from the gaslighter. They will constantly engage in self-doubt and they'll start to think they're crazy and keep asking the same question over and over again. Like, hey, did you do this? Did you do this? That looks like you, or that's really you. But every time they're confronted, they withhold this information, even if it means nothing. Like, this is what I want you guys to know. The gaslighter usually doesn't even care how significant this information is, or insignificant for that matter. If they want to gain power by withholding knowledge, it doesn't matter. They will withhold it. And I want to make sure everybody knows that, because it's like sometimes I get the individuals that are being gaslit asking, you know, why would this person lie? Why would this person lie? Well, it doesn't matter. The only reason is control. The only reason is to have control, and knowledge is power, friends. And when I have all the knowledge, you can't use it against me, and I'll protect myself by not disclosing it, by withholding it from you. So hopefully this has given you an idea of what the most common strategies that the gaslighter will use. And he or she really starts to develop a toxic relationship. Now, I really wanted to get into how gaslighting starts in a relationship. I often say that we see people clearly, like right from the beginning, if we choose to, right? Right from the beginning. And I still believe that, even though when I was reading certain literature, the consensus was that with gaslighting, you won't find out until later. And I think that is true in a lot of cases, but I do think in a lot of cases as well, I would say half, you can actually see a gaslighter right in the beginning of a relationship. They will appear in situations where they might lose or fear that they might lose control over the other person. That's when it will start to come out. And it could come out with insults. It could come out with blaming. And it'll be a really extreme shift, right? That all of a sudden this person was really nice, but then one split second they call you some sort of cuss word that you're like, where did this come from? Like all of a sudden you'll be called a bitch. And you're like, this person never talks to me this way. We can dismiss it right in the beginning when a person says, oh, some sort of insult. That's pretty significant, pretty severe. We'll dismiss it because we haven't heard anything else from them before. But they cross that line. They cross that line that is usually hard to cross if you're consistently a person who's fair, kind, generous, courteous. Like it's very hard to cross that line is all I'm saying. But they crossed it. They just kind of didn't get what they wanted in one incident. And right away, they just went from 0 to 60. And I mean that 60 is like a lot. Okay. So it's like, you're going to hear some, cuss words that devalues you to the core as a human being, that kind of depth to it. And it's from 0 to 60 is the best way I explain that. That's why I don't necessarily believe that you have to wait too long to see a gaslighter. They'll do it when they'll cross that line easily when they do not get a desired outcome from their partner or have not gained some sort of control that they wanted. You will hear them loud and clear cross that line, cross that really degrading, devaluing line. Yeah, I'm a big believer that you'll see it if you want to see it. But usually you'll know that this person's a gaslighter because they might apologize, but apologize including the word but. I know I cussed you out, but you got me really angry. Gaslighting. Yeah, something that simple. Oh, they apologize, but they miss the detail in a proper apology, which is that we don't say but. An apology, a really good one, a really genuine one, takes accountability, full accountability, friends. You don't point out somebody else's flaws for making you cross that very degrading line. No, no, no. We take accountability for it. So if the gaslighter does not take accountability, then you know he's a gaslighter or she's a gaslighter. You just need to see it. That's it. You are observing it right now and you need to take that into accountability. And you're responsible for what you see, my friend. You, as a person who's watching a gaslighter, gaslighting you, are responsible for what you see. Fully responsible for what you see. So you are very powerful. You can enact your boundaries at that point. You can do stuff about it, right? But I've already talked about that earlier, and I want to make sure that I just remind you that you could do something about it. But most of the time, it does not include talking it through with the person who keeps manipulating conversations to where they can control them every time. Look, people discount verbal abuse. As a matter of fact, I think therapists also at times do not take verbal abuse into consideration as much as we ought to. But today, it's front and center. This is verbal abuse, and verbal abuse is abuse. Emotional abuse is abuse. And just because you don't see marks on your body, the marks that are left on the inside are longer lasting than any bruises you can have superficially on the skin. These marks last for a long time, and they interfere with the self-esteem development, your feelings of self-worth, your ability to do and excel in your life and live a quality of life that is of your own liking. So verbal abuse is a real thing, and it is a very serious thing, and its impact is a much more serious impact than all the other abuse I could think of, because of how long it's sustained in the psyche and what it does to the psyche and generations to come after that. So let's take it very seriously. Now, I can't help but talk about the part here that's gonna benefit everybody, which is, how does this gaslighter set the stage for the gaslighting business to start happening and it works well? It's going to be no longer subtle to you today. You're going to know if you're in a relationship where you're being gaslighted. So the first thing that a gaslighter will do to set the stage is to love bomb. Now, I know that the word is being used over and over all over social media, and it's a trendy word, but I'm really wanting to bring it down to earth because it is a very usable and valuable idea here and a concept to be aware of. A person who love bombs, usually a gaslighter who love bombs, tries to create kind of a strong attachment with their partner or the relationship that they would like to control and have power over. They give them a lot of love, a lot of attention. They answer their texts quickly. They are attentive to them. They remember little details. They appease them. In the beginning, it's a lot of love bombing. Attention, 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 attention. Now, they create this strong attachment that later can be used as a weapon, right? So once they get this individual attached to them, then later on, they can do other things with that attachment. They have a lot of control over it. So we have to set the stage, and that's how they set the stage in order for it to work. But you can't set love bombing successfully for long durations unless you do this next thing. So the gaslighter will have to do this next thing to gain the control for long term, and that would be to isolate the partner or the person in the relationship, to isolate them from their friends, from their family, which limits the input that they get back from other people. Because in reality, the gaslighter does not want for other people to interfere with this person's attachment towards them. So because they've already developed a strong attachment that they can use, they don't want the other person all of a sudden to have input from loved ones and other people that they value and that value them, that may interfere with the gaslighter's control and hold over the person who's being gaslit. So love bombing them all to heck, right? Creating that attachment, I'm giving them a lot of value, so this way I can control whether this person has value in the day or does not have value, just based on my responses as a gaslighter. I can control whether the other person feels valued in that day or not. But if I have family and friends telling that person that they're valuable, that they're not crazy, that you should leave that person, whatever the case is, that interferes with my control over this person as a gaslighter. So now it is important at this point to add a specific piece of information about isolation. And I found there's a strong correlation with a gaslighter and how they use jealousy. So when a gaslighter uses jealousy on their partner, most of the time it is used for the purpose to isolate them from others. So it's a very strange, unique relationship that the gaslighter has with jealousy. So it'll start to sound like the gaslighter verbalizing that they're jealous of how you spend time with friends, you don't spend enough time with me, you always go see your family, you shouldn't have any, if you're a female, you shouldn't have any male friends because that's not what you're supposed to do in a relationship. No matter how long you've had that friend, no matter, you know, what the case is, if the gaslighter does not want you to be with this person and they may find themselves having to share the control or share your ear, if you will, then in that case, the gaslighter will start to verbalize jealousy towards those people. So the people pleaser or the partner could release them, could stop talking to them or reduce the amount of time that they see their family, their friends, and they'll start to isolate from their friends. So this is just something that I needed to put in there because it does happen often. And I think we don't mention it enough with gaslighters and how they use jealousy. So just for you guys to know, just another sneaky way that a gaslighter will use jealousy to isolate a partner. Okay. Now, finally, to set the stage properly, the gaslighter has to do this one major thing. After establishing the love bombing, creating that attachment, the significant, very strong codependent attachment, then you've got them isolated. The next thing to do would be to now be in charge and train the individual to respond to your withdrawal of affection. So it would make sense now. This person who's being gaslit, who was love bombed in the beginning, who is now isolated from friends and family, is going to seek the validation and reassurance consistently from the gaslighter. Yep, that's what it looks like. It's constant reassurance that the gaslighter still loves them, that the gaslighter still accepts them. The person who's being gaslit does not see themselves with value at this point. They start to deteriorate and question, like I said, their sanity, question their value because the gaslighter starts to hold their value in their hand. And when they want to have their way, all they gotta do is make the gaslit person chase them. And I said this in the beginning, that a gaslighter tries to keep a people pleaser pleasing people. So that's their mission. And they're usually pretty successful when the stage is set the way it's I just kind of talked about. So now they can withhold their affection, with not send as many texts as they want, not listen to that person anymore, starts to distort and question their reality. And there's no other, the person's isolated now. There's no other input or other person that they find valuable in their life and that sees them kindly. They only get their source of food, if you will, and nutrition from this gaslighter. So it's breadcrumbed to them. It's breadcrumbed consistently. And yeah, this is not a nice outcome for the individual that is being gaslit consistently. Now, I mentioned previously that on one extreme is a people pleaser when it comes to the people that are attracted to a gaslighter, but also a gaslighter is attracted to a gaslighter. One person also wants to be right. One person also wants to control. And so they'll use those same strategies to control the other person. And they'll do all the other stuff that gets done toxically in a relationship that I've discussed previously, with all those patterns of communication, to include and not limited to silent treatments, walking out in the middle of a conversation, avoidance of any other kind, let's see, overreacting. Physical abuse now gets introduced here as well. So the other extreme here is two toxic people having a very toxic, loud relationship. This never turns out well. Never turns out well. Those individuals usually want to control the other person, want the full control period. They're going to keep at it, calling themselves a victim, but they're really, in fact, attempting to control the other person. So, that's really what I wanted to get to today is gaslighting. And I hope by now you know that this is every day happening at different levels of intensity. So, you know, it may not be done all the time, but it's done in the relationship. And I'm not saying let's leave this person and just get out and leave the relationship. But I do pose this challenge to anybody who's in a relationship with a gaslighter to not seek reassurance from the gaslighter. So if you find that this gaslighter is doing their gaslighting business, like I said previously, please do not go up to them and tell them you're gaslighting. I just need you to build better boundaries. I need you to enforce them. So it's not just important to build boundaries. And with a gaslighter, we don't talk about boundaries. We do them. I want to make sure that's very clear, because when we talk to a gaslighter, we will lose. So I don't want to talk to a gaslighter. I just want to collect the information and I want to now use it in a very useful way for me to protect myself by enforcing my boundaries, by making sure that I gain my value and my reassurance and my comfort and my self-esteem, but it's not from the gaslighter anymore. I will start to work on not isolating other people, and I will start to receive love from other sources, family, friends, not just the gaslighter. This has to be done intentionally, friends. I want to also mention a previous episode that I've done on people pleasing that had a lot of listens. So please, if you want to know the true nature of people pleasing and what it is, listen to that episode over and over again. So this way you no longer find people pleasing as a nice thing. It is not a nice thing. And when I choose to be a people pleaser, because it is a choice now as an adult, as a kid, it is not. But as an adult, if we still have that habit, it is not. We are choosing it at this point as we are consciously aware of what it is and how it's used against us. So in this case, please find the episode and listen to it. And I'll make sure that I'll ruin that impression that you have of people pleasing. In a good way. You'll like it. Okay. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. And, you know, if you have a suggestion, please feel free to email me at talaibra8888@gmail.com. I'll gladly include it somewhere. It may not be right away, but I will include it somewhere in my episodes to make sure that I address your needs as well. This is for you guys. This podcast is for you and is to be of service to you. So please allow me to do that. And lastly, I'm sending you love and light. A gaslighter's power comes from not taking responsibility. The gaslit person gets their power from responsibility and taking accountability for protecting themselves by enforcing their boundaries. This has been an episode of Drive Through.